Here comes the ep, a brand new ep of the HBO Max Movie Club. Everyone, get this. I'm Matt Rogers, and I host this damn thing, and I have been for weeks. Thank you for joining me yet again. This is going to be a good one, y'all. This is going to be a good one because it's Father of the Bride. It's out now, actually as of right now, and it stars Andy Garcia, Gloria Estefan, Adria Arjona, Isabella Merced, Diego Boneta, and the one and only Chloe Fineman, a friend of mine. Sorry to brag, but it's true. It's simply true. So for those of you who are not familiar, this actually is a little bit of a reboot. This is a little bit of a franchise. This is the newest installment of Father of the Bride. It's actually the fourth iteration of this film. The original is with Spencer Tracy, Elizabeth Taylor, and Joan Bennett. And it introduced audiences to the concept that every father sort of undergoes an inner crisis when his daughter says she plans to get married. Does it still ring true today? Is this sort of something that happens in every culture, depending on what the situation is between father and daughter? Seems likely. And I think this film is going to explore that conflict. There was also a 1990s version, Father of the Bride 1 and 2. It did so well the first time, it got a little bit of a sequel with comedy icons and acting legends Steve Martin and Diane Keaton. This movie was iconic. It actually was directed and written by Nancy Meyers herself. Iconic romantic comedy creator and lifestyle curator if you are a woman in your middle age who really wants to explore the idea of like renovating a kitchen island. You know what I mean? This film, that 1990s version, that was actually, this is an original, interesting fact. This is Kieran Culkin's first speaking role. And now he talks a little bit too much on Succession, an HBO fan favorite. And get this, Kimberly Williams Paisley is only Kimberly Williams Paisley because a country superstar named Brad Paisley, sorry, yes, I do know country music and not just pop because gay, watched this film, Father of the Bride, the 1990s version, and said, okay, hold on, I'm a little interested in that one. As a result of like pretty much falling in love with first sight with this incredible actress, he said, let me cast her in my music video. So as a result of watching this film, Kimberly Williams Paisley was cast in Brad Paisley's video, and she became his wife later on. This is romance, the house down, and they've been married for almost 2 decades, people. Hollywood royalty, Nashville royalty, more like. Well, I don't know where they live. And if I did know, I wouldn't tell you, stalkers. So this movie is also notable for examining the fact that this is a Cuban family and a Mexican family coming together. And the director, Gaz Alazraki, had a really interesting quote about this. He said, when I was invited to reimagine Father of the Bride, it made me, a Mexican who has recently relocated with my family to the U.S., think about how culturally distant my prospective future son-in-law or daughter-in-law might be. I realized that when you move to this country, you come searching for better opportunities, but you don't necessarily consider how much your traditions might fade as your children grow up here. So this is really adding to that theme of the traditional versus the modern, and we see that in the conflict between Andy Garcia and his daughter in the film. Today on the pod, I am joined by the one and only comedian extraordinaire, Danielle Perez, and we're going to be diving into this one right now, baby. Okay, here comes the bride, more like here comes the absolute legend, Danielle Perez. What the hell is up?
Oh my God, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. First of all, how are you doing? What the hell?
I'm doing great. Yeah. You know, it's summer in Los Angeles. Ooh. Honey, pools are open. We're
pools
swimming.
Pools are open. Oh, the heat is dry and we're ready to go. And we got great flicks on HBO Max if we want to get into the AC of it all. And
I know,
of,
stay cool. Yeah. Honey, I have central AC. It's staying 72 degrees in here constantly.
Exactly. Honestly, like the movie obviously takes place in Miami and I'm like, couldn't be me. I just can't deal with the humidity. Especially a wedding in the humidity. Ugh.
Okay, that is crazy because my family is from the Dominican Republic, so I grew up every summer going to Miami.
Yeah.
And I did not know until, this is obviously very tragic, but my grandma was dying and it was like January and I went and I was like, oh, it's like very nice.
Like, yeah.
The temperature is very cool and breezy. It's like, oh, I understand what a snowbird is now.
Right, exactly.
Because I had only experienced the terrible humidity.
My parents snowbird from Long Island down in, Clearwater, Florida, which is a whole other vibe. But I'm like, if we're going to go to a Floridian city, Mama, at least let's go to Miami where we can party, or Orlando where we can ride some damn rides.
Wait, Clearwater as in like...
Sci-tie town. Very that. I mean, deeply. But also, it's just like, it really is like such a, Miami's such a fun party vibe. And like, whenever you go down there, I remember the first time I ever went down there, it was like South Beach and like neon lights, baby. And if you walk even a step outside of whatever institution on that street, you're gonna be given cocaine. Does anyone need cocaine? Mm-hmm. Need cocaine?
Yeah. The thing about Miami is that, like, growing up in LA,
yeah,
people, like, if I traveled or something and people are like, what's it like living in LA? It's like, I think people have this idea of what LA is, and what you're thinking of is Miami. Like,
yeah,
that
yeah.
is not Los Angeles.
100%. Now, listen, here's the thing about this film. It's a straight up remake. Are you familiar with the remake, with the original rather, with Ms. Keaton and Mr. Martin?
I am familiar with the original, and I love that they really just took it in a whole new direction. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't just like a straight remake. It is a whole new take.
Yeah, yeah. So what were your impressions of the movie? I'm curious to hear what you thought.
Oh my God. Okay. Andy Garcia, we love. We love Andy Garcia.
Still hot too.
Still hot, but definitely giving us viejito. You know what I mean? It's like he's aged and he's rugged and they're not afraid to show it, but still hot.
I mean,
but
daddy vibes, literally. The father of the bride, more like daddy of the bride.
Daddy
of this podcast host.
Oh my God, Gloria Estefan. You know, I have not seen her act in a movie in a really long time. And she's just so funny and so cute.
Yeah, probably since like Music of the Heart. Remember that one years ago?
Oh my God, with Dolly Parton?
Meryl Streep.
Wait, what?
So there's a movie years ago that Gloria Estefan was in. She plays like the principal of like, okay, it's very like Meryl Streep was playing a white savior.
Wait, Queen Latifah. Am I crazy?
No, I think you're thinking of Joyful Noise.
Oh my God, I am. I was like, you know, a movie about a team of ragtag musical people who just want to do it.
Well, listen, spiritually, I would say yes. And I would say, actually, in terms of Gloria Estefan, like, actually one of the better musical icons turned actresses, I think. Like, you forget that Gloria is like, she's got the real chemistry with Andy, mm-hmm. and she's giving you comedy, and she's giving you gravitas.
She really is. She's giving that depth. Yeah. Because she wants she wants a divorce.
She wants a divorce. And, you know, people will have to see how that plays out in the film, which is, you know, out streaming now on HBO Max. But I would say, like, she often gets forgotten in the conversation of, like, true musical icons, I think, because, like, she's not, like, out there all the time now, but she's got her Red Table Talk, which we love.
Oh, my God.
Do you ever watch her Red Table Talk?
I have not seen her Red Table Talk. This is what? What?
So, yeah, so there's obviously the famous Jada Pinkett Smith Red Table Talk, and then there's one called Red Table Talk.
Streaming on Facebook.
Facebook Watch. Sorry, HBO Max. But then there's Red Table Talk, the Estefans, and it's like Gloria Estefan is the Jada. Yes, Gloria Estefan is multimedia.
Oh, I had no idea that she like was pivoting in that way, giving us
100%.
A Red Table Talk, like her own series, Estefans. Like, I didn't even know that the Red Table Talk had franchised in that way.
Oh, yeah. No, Jada's making her money off of it, for sure. She's like, she's cornering the market, as is Gloria Estefan. Do you have a favorite Gloria bop?
Here's the thing is, like, I know these songs because they play, like, at every family function that I go to, but, like...
Yeah. It's giving block
like
party.
The soundtrack of my... my childhood.
yeah, I know. It's one of those things. It's like so the score of all of our lives that like you. But I've been for some reason I don't really know why. But I have been listening to Conga so much lately. For some reason, it's like really re-entered the public consciousness for me. And by public consciousness, I mean my private consciousness. I'm just like really listening to it, and it is a banger.
It's a banger. It's a bop. Just on repeat. I mean, Oh God. And it's summer. It's such a summertime jam, you
it's
know?
It's a summertime jam. Also, the thing in Turn the Beat Around is when she goes, because when the guitar player starts playing with a syncopated rhythm with a scratch, 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 makes me want to move my body. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like she's actually doing a syncopated rhythm, and that is actually huge. You know, to employ that musical genius and the lyrics at the same time makes me want to move my body. Yeah, 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 to be quite honest.
I moved my body. Yeah, 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 right now. You did an amazing Gloria Estefan.
Thank you. And that's really what I'm striving to do on this podcast. I think I earned the nomination with that one. So are you a wedding person? Are you someone who's like, let's celebrate love? Or are you sort of like, come on, girl?
I mean, here's the thing. I love a party. I love any excuse
yes,
to party.
I know that about you.
You know, and if you're going to get married, sure, let's celebrate love. But I love a wedding. I love a party. I love a drunk aunt, a fun uncle. Yeah. You know, I love it all.
What's the best wedding song?
I don't know if it's the best wedding song, but I feel like Bruno Mars has been a real big wedding anthem. You know what I mean? I was at the last wedding I was at, they had a live band doing Bruno Mars.
Oh my God. A live band at a wedding, that is actually really clutch.
It was a throwback. I was like, oh, this is a real, you guys are getting, okay, you're bringing out the big guns, not just a DJ. Anyone can press play.
Because then the thing too is like when you're at a wedding and there's a live band, the singer has to be able to do it all. And I was at my friend Alex's wedding a couple of years ago, and this singer, she started playing Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson. And I was like, okay, so she thinks she has the vocals. And when I tell you, this live band with this wedding singer was slaying Kelly Clarkson, like belting high F sharps, like truly giving Kelly a run for her money. And the wedding was, you hate to say it, but absolutely lit.
That's the thing about a live band, a live singer. They got to bring it. They are on. They are on the whole time.
On the whole time.
I love it. I love when there's like an MC for the wedding too. Have you experienced that?
You would be a fantastic wedding MC.
I would love to be a wedding MC.
Have you ever been an officiant?
I've not.
You would be an iconic efficient.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to take this. I'm going to add that to my resume as something I can do. And for qualifications, say that Matt Rogers said so.
You're going to add it to your special skills. I am a know-how on this because I actually was just asked by my sister to officiate her wedding, which will also be a Florida wedding.
Oh my God, that's
not
so
fun in
sweet.
Miami like this one in this film, Father of the Bride, streaming now on HBO Max. But it will be a St. Petersburg, so Clearwater adjacent wedding, and I'll try to bring some LA to it. You know what I mean?
Bring some LA to it. Oh, I love. Oh my God.
Bring some New York energy.
That's so sweet. Aw, that's so nice to officiate the wedding.
It's gonna be cute. Okay, so Andy Garcia's attitude in this movie, too much, or are you on his side?
Honestly, okay, it's too much, but I very much believe it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like knowing, like, my dad's really sweet. I'm not saying he's, like, giving Andy Garcia, like, he would throw a hissy fit or anything like that. But you know, I mean, the whole scene when they sit down and, she finds him at, like, the Domino's tables and stuff like that. It's just, like, and he's with all of his friends, and it's, like, they're just, you know, they puff out their chest, that machismo, Cubano, just like, no one's going to tell me. I worked myself from the bottom. And, you know, that's, I know that. I know that energy.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I think there's something also to the fact when Andy Garcia, who's like, he's a handsome man, you know, he's puffing up his chest, like you said. And then he sees that not only is his daughter getting married, which would like, you know, make any like dad like sort of puff up, but she's marrying Diego Boneta, who is so hot. And that has to do something to a dad when you see that your like daughter's fiance is probably putting it down.
Damn, wow.
Not for nothing.
God. Wow, didn't even think about that. Ooh.
If you're a dad and you see like, you know, your daughter's fiance and he's like a chump, you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. But when like there's a new capital M man in the life, I get it.
It's real lion versus lion. You know, a young cub approaching an old king. Someone's getting thrown off a cliff.
It's giving a lion fight.
But yeah, no, her fiance is so cute. He's so cute.
So cute. And she's gorgeous too.
She
was beautiful. And also, what did you think of her proposing to him? Is this something you can see yourself doing?
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
No, where I get traditional, too. I'm like, girl, come on. Don't get on your knees. Not for that.
No, I know. Exactly. Not for that. It's like there's so many other better ways to get on your knees for things to do on your knees. And I'm fine with all that. But not to ask for your hand in marriage. That's degrading.
No.
Yeah, no. That's so... It seems like her age is like definitely like mid-20s, right?
Yeah, it was giving young bride.
Young bride. And it's just so, I guess like that's the thing. Like in 2022, I know people that are like getting married in like their 30s. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's so, it's like, why? Why the rush?
Non-traditional. I mean, we see that in the film, the themes.
She's like, you're not going to tell me what to do. You raised me to be an independent thinker.
Yeah. Now that you created me, now love me as I am. Period. What do we think of Chloe Fineman in the film? Sort of coming in and doing
obsessed.
Her absolute capital T thing. She killed it.
She killed it. She's so fucking funny. I love it. I love, like, immediately when she, like, enters, like, with her assistant. She's...
Yeah.
And I love when, like, Andy Garcia, like, he's, like, such a dad. He, like, doesn't even say girl boss. He's, like, boss lady or something.
Yeah, boss lady.
Yeah, he's like, you're a woman boss. Like,
yeah,
I always have no idea.
Oh, here's your woman boss.
How to empower her.
Yeah, I truly love in any of these. Well, not to mention another movie coming out, but I love when SNL cast members get to like play real fun parts outside of SNL because, you know, you see Chloe every week like kill it on that show, and then to see her get a big part like this, I love it. And honestly, like in terms of like great character actors, it's nice to see her like take her place as one of them, because this is one of those roles in a movie that, like, you know, if you're like a young kid, like, and you want to be like a comedy actor, you do want to play that part. Like, I always gravitate towards those fun supporting parts. Like, you know, the lead sometimes can be a little boring sometimes. It's like, do you want to be to play the daughter, or do you want to play the fun wedding planner? I mean, come on now.
Yeah, you want to play the fun wedding planner, and I love that. Yeah, no, I know exactly like what you mean. Like, when I was young and, like, I first saw Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, it's like, you know, Janine Garofalo, like, those small little parts. Like, even Alan Cumming.
Yeah,
like,
you want to be the Janine Garofalo or the Alan Cumming because, you know, you come in, you get your laughs, you go sit. You're probably not, like, sitting there all day on set. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you get to fun in and make the – I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, I do stand-up. I like to make the jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
I love to make the jokes.
Now, we have some hot takes on this film. I went to Twitter, which, you know, is always a risk.
That is.
Danielle, but I did it. So this comes from Vinny S. And he says, the Broadway poster for Wicked clearly ripped off the movie poster for Father of the Bride, and no one is talking about it. Have you ever seen the movie poster for the other Father of the Bride where it's like a whisper moment?
Oh, my God. Yes. Now thinking about, like, actually understanding those visuals now, it's like, this is...
It's theft.
That is toxic. Oh, my God. They are calling...
They're calling them out.
Steve Martin, just like a toxic evil. Are you born wicked, or is wickedness thrust upon you?
Honestly, it's a conflict. It's something to talk about. Also, do you remember... did you ever see Father of the Bride Part 2, which was the sequel? Okay, so you know what happens in that? What goes down in that movie is... She has a baby. So the daughter now Steve Martin's conflict is, oh, not only is this woman married and my daughter, I had to get over that, but she's having a baby. And so there we go. And at the same time, his wife, played by Diane Keaton, also gets pregnant, which is the big twist in the film. Diane Keaton pregnant.
The miracle of IVF.
Not even. They just got like pregnant. Also, right now on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, do you watch Housewives of Beverly Hills?
I do, but I only saw the first episode.
Well, on the second episode, you find out that Senella Diana Jenkins has gotten pregnant at 48 years old, and she has had a baby. And I was like, the miracle of science.
Truly, they are giving us a whole new generation of children who will have geriatric parents. And
yes.
I love it. I love that because I think that handicap parking will expand. Yeah.
We're going to make it easier for the doll.
Yeah, they're going to make it easier for me to get around town because they're like, we're going to be petitioning their local Whole Foods. It's like, we need more spaces.
Oh, I love it.
I can't take my daughter grocery shopping.
Okay, so here's another hot take about the film. Okay, Roman Q says, quote, throwing a bouquet is the Chekhov's gun of marriage films. Now, I don't think this person understands what a Chekhov's gun is.
I don't think. I met someone who saw Uncle Vanya recently.
There we go.
Big fan of Chekhov. Yeah. The bouquet always happens at the end.
Yeah, hun.
Unless it's like a rom-com where it starts with a bouquet toss, which is a very limited number of rom-coms.
100%. And also, so, okay.
We all know what happens with... That's not a Chekhov's gun.
But it does sort of get me thinking. So let's just say you're in a small crowd and the bouquet is thrown and it's headed your way. Do you sort of go, I'm going to receive, or do you say, I'm going to knock the shit out of the way? I don't need any sort of like, you know, superstition telling me what I'm going to do with my romantic life.
I'm pulling a Sex and the City season one and watching it fall to the ground and walking away.
Yes, 100%.
While sipping my cocktail.
Yeah, y'all can deal with that. Honestly, right. Watching the depictions of in movies of like the carnage that happens when a bouquet is thrown. Honestly, first of all, ladies, you've done your makeup all nice. You've done your hair. You've gotten together in the garment. Like, don't ruin it. Don't tussle.
You're going to risk it all to just play like you're in the NFL for a bunch of flowers?
Yeah, truly. Truly.
Well, oh, my God. One thing that is funny. Like, the first wedding I remember going to was my cousin's. I was like 13. And she got a photograph back from the photographer at the wedding. Her older sister, who was not married, at the bouquet toss, she was like elevated. We're talking like 3 feet off the ground trying to catch this. It was a very like inaction sports photo where she is like diving.
Just like the
for
cover
it.
Of Sports Illustrated, like has yes. Basically the photographer should just come to this wedding and see the dolls sort of just like jump, leap, flip, turn it,
yes.
Trying to get this bouquet. And for what? Like to marry your like sort of like what this like limp dick guy you brought to the wedding? Come on now.
Yeah, who still hasn't proposed.
Yeah, come on.
Dump him.
It's so funny. Like I feel like I'm 32, so that means all my girlfriends from high school are starting to get married now. And it was just so funny because there was the first one that got married, and then you felt this like energy around the rest of the girls. Like it was like
the ripple effect.
The ripple effect. Like the anxiety of like, now I'm looking at you. And it's like, it's going to be your time. So now I'm going to two weddings. Last year it was also two. It's just like, it's now getting to the point where there's like 8 girls in my friend group. And I think 6 of them are now married or getting married. And it's just like the final two are like, okay, what the fuck?
It's now or never.
They're feeling the anxiety.
They're feeling it. And the thing is, it's like they have all of these other weddings to compare it to.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's got to be different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to rip anyone off.
No.
It's got to be unique.
Yeah.
We got to go bigger, harder.
Bigger, harder, faster. I mean,
stronger.
What, bigger, harder, faster. What's the most like ornate wedding you've been to? Have you ever been to like one that you were like, holy fucking shit, how did this happen?
Oh my God. My cousin actually had a pretty
popped off.
Out of control wedding. Yeah. It was in New York in Dumbo.
Nice.
He had like a whole warehouse space that was like transformed. It was like the wedding ceremony. And then they like moved us to a different part while they transformed it to the dining room. But we were talking multiple dresses. I literally have like a Lucite cutout of my name that served as like my nameplate.
Uh-huh.
On the like,
not a Lucite
charger.
Cutout.
Yes, I'm talking like, you know,
wealth.
Customized,
yeah.
Like Lucite stirrers, like, yeah, chargers, and then the plate, and then the napkin in the menu, and my name cut out in Lucite, and like,
yeah,
it was insane. It was like, truly like, this is, everyone lives in New York, like pretty much most, like her, she's from, born and raised in New York, he was born and raised in New York, like I didn't understand why there needed to be so much opulence on like these very tiny details, because we're going to do all that, go abroad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I feel like it's so interesting to see where the money goes, because it is so many small things to think about. Like you think, oh, I'm going to get married. Like my sister actually today is looking at wedding dresses, and down in Florida, and it's like, it's not just the dress, and it's the food, it's the like, you know, napkin arrangement, it's all these things, like, yes, actually having to sit there and actually think about what past apps are going to be at the wedding, that would be my favorite mm-hmm. part. Like, I want to know what the Swedish meatballs are giving. I want to know about the spring rolls. What are your past apps that you want at your wedding?
Ooh, past apps that I like. I, you know what I really love? I love, like, past app in a, and like a silver, single serving spoon.
Oh, you
know what
yeah, I mean? Yeah, yeah.
So there's like a tuna tartare yes. or something like that, or like a ceviche.
Yes, we
or,
love a you ceviche.
You know what I mean? Like some, yeah, I like that in a single serving spoon. I feel like that's a really nice past app.
Sliders.
Sliders are fun, but you know what? I'm an LA girl. I would love like Post to have like the In-N-Out truck.
Oh,
you
know? I'm kind of iconic.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that is good. That is something to look forward to. In-N-Out being at the event is probably huge. That's actually the fun part for me, is like the details. But then it's just kind of like,
but those are the details that like add up and make it just
make you go
touching.
Crazy.
Like literally any little thing where, oh, we want our initials monogrammed on this, and it's like the up, like it's all. I follow like even like the invitations. I follow this woman on Instagram that does like custom hand embossing.
Yeah,
so you can pick like the color and the design of it being pressed into this like beautiful high quality paper. And I'm talking about like these invitations that she's making for these people. They have like six components. Do you know what I mean? In terms of just like, it's just a matryoshka doll of
yes.
like unpackaging. And it's like, that's at least gotta be $25, $30 each invitation.
Well, because you don't realize this, but a save the date is not an invitation. There's a save the date, no. and then there's an invitation, mm-hmm. and in the invitation envelope is the invitation itself, and then the details mm-hmm. about how to book a place if you want to stay there, and the RSVP card. And the RSVP card not always has a stamp on it. And this is actually an I don't think so, honey, I have. Don't make me put a stamp on my RSVP card, because I don't know, actually, I actually don't even know where they sell stamps. And no one does.
100%. No, no one knows where to get stamps.
Mama, I went to the Gelson's and I was like, do you guys have stamps? And the girl there goes, yeah. I was like, you don't even
it's
know.
Like, he asked her if she could take a check. And she was just like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
The goose chase was so wild for stamps. And I was like, any women out there or gay men out there who are like in this wedding industrial complex, put the stamps on the RSVP card, okay? And also just minimize. Maybe I don't need the RSVP, the save the date thing, and the invitation. You know what's really huge is this thing, thenot.com. Like, so like, it all takes place now on The Knot. Like, everyone uses this website, The Knot. So I like just literally Googled the names of my friends and the words The Knot, and I was able to RSVP to the wedding online like 3 weeks before, and they hadn't even sent the invitations out.
What?
Mama, make That's it crazy. Digital. We're living in 2022.
Funny, yeah, I know. 2022, it all has to be digital. I love that. Just send a link. Babe, send me a link. Don't even send me an email. Text me a link.
Text me the link. Speaking of digital, I have a poll here. So this is, we have a poll we bravely took to Twitter, okay? And so this question was asked, who would you choose as your maid of honor? Okay, so I want to give you the three characters from the film that you can choose as your maid of honor, Danielle, and you let me know who you would pick, and I'll see if it aligns with the tastes of Twitter. Okay, ready? Gloria Estefan, Adria Arjona, or Isabella Merced, who are you choosing as your personal maid of honor?
Sophia.
Now, why?
She's fun.
Yeah. And she knows she's going to look absolutely stunning in the dress, which is really the big moment.
Oh, wait. Oh, my God. No. Am I so stupid?
What?
I like mixed her up with her younger sister.
So
I'm like.
So it'd be one of the young girls. What you're saying is it would be one of the young girls.
Yeah. I mean, okay. But then Gloria Estefan is like really supportive and nice. But I, you know what? I just like love the younger sister because like, look, she can sew, she pulls it off, she gets it together. Literally, she would forget her own name. Do you know what I mean? Just like how I forgot hers.
Exactly. And
she's a little out to lunch.
Twitter agreed with you. 42.9%. said Isabella Merced would be an iconic maid of honor. So there you go.
She really would. Yes.
I have a segment on this podcast called How Is It a Queer Narrative? Now, every film that I do here on this podcast, I sort of like have to wrestle with the idea of how it's a queer narrative. And over at Techno Beat, I say the ways in which it is. So DJ Matt Stillo, will you please roll my track? Gloria Estefan is in it. She was in Divas Live once. Andy Garcia, it's giving daddy. The maid of honor and the bridesmaids look absolutely chic. Miami, baby, where's the afters? And of course, non-traditional proposals and weddings. Okay, thank you so much, Matt. Wow, great. That was how this movie is a queer narrative. Now, Danielle, do you have any ways in which to add that this film is a queer narrative? How did this queer the idea?
Okay, also too, the younger sister and the fiance's sister.
Yes.
Definitely giving queer energy.
There was a chemistry there.
There was queer. There was like an unspoken, like the first meeting of them, there was a moment.
And you know what? I'm like, go there. Go there. Let's see it.
I wanted them to go there. I really wanted them to go there. But I think that's Father of the Bride too.
Maybe that's Father of the Bride 2 too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, the second sequel. You know, whenever I go to a straight wedding, it's always like that little dance because I usually am the only gay person there, which is sort of iconic. But that's actually not true because it's usually you and one other person. And so at a gay wedding, it's sort of the vibe, not at a straight wedding, rather, it's sort of the vibe of, oh, there's two gays here. Put them together. Like, let's see what's going to happen. And there's an anxiety there. But I will say, last year at my friend Alex's wedding, I did hook up with the only other gay.
Oh, yes. We love to see it. Congrats.
But sort of took him off to the side. Wasn't like, you know, stunting on the straight people there. I was just like, you know, we're going to sneak off. You know what I mean?
Everyone was at that wedding was probably so proud. They're like, we did it.
Well, they were proud of me. They're like, that's great that he came out of the closet. Last time we saw him, he was 17 and scared. And we all had a feeling, but look at him now sneaking off with that little twink. Good for everyone involved. Danielle Perez, thank you so much for joining me on this incredible episode of the HBO Max Movie Club to talk about the film Father of the Bride. Any HBO Max shows that you're especially streaming and loving? Like, what are you watching on the platform? Anything good?
Ooh, HBO Max. I am loving Barry, the new season of
Love.
Barry. Obsessed.
HBO via HBO Max. Yes, of course. Yes, Barry is killing it.
Barry is killing it. Oh my God. I just finished Minx. It's so cute.
Ooh,
it's 70s.
With Oscar Montoya.
Oscar Montoya. Yes. In it. It's 70s. It's cute. It's really gay. It's fun. You see tits. It's just, you know, it's feminism, but it's, you know.
Period.
Costumes. And, yes.
We love it. It's costumes. It's period. It's sassy.
Speeches.
It's Oscar. Yeah. It's Minx.
It is.
Oh my God. Love.
Yeah.
Well, listen to that. Now you got recommendations for content by Danielle Perez herself. Where can they find you on socials, mama?
Oh my God, please find me on Twitter and Instagram at Diva Deluxe.
Diva Deluxe!
Diva Deluxe.
No E at the end. Sorry. I talked over you and people need to hear the handle. At Diva Deluxe, no yes. E at the end.
Yes. Yeah. But I'm based in LA, so I perform all over town.
Yes.
Come see me.
One of the funniest and best, most dynamic ever. And I'm so happy that we had you on the app.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is such a cute movie. I really do love that. Like in this movie, like I'm Dominican, you know, it's a Cuban family, but you know, the merging of another family that's Mexican.
Yeah.
And it's like, even though they're both Latino, it's still, you know, there's differences. And I love to see that. I think it was really funny and really cute. A lot of heart.
And I think that like specificity, like they talked about how like the specificity mm-hmm. is actually universality. And so it's like a very specific
yeah,
story
very
about
much.
These two cultures combining and these two families combining. But actually, I think we can all see that in our own families. And it's a really fun movie, but it's also, it's that representation, baby.
Honey, and it matters.
And it matters.
HBO Max is giving.
Thank you, HBO Max. We thank you. We salute you. Love ya.
Love ya. Bye.
Thanks for joining the HBO Max Movie Club. The movies we talked about today are currently available on HBO Max. Check the show notes for exact streaming dates. Joining the club next episode is legendary actor and director Michael freaking Showalter. So be sure to do your homework and stream his Oscar-winning film, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, on HBO Max. If you haven't already subscribed, rated, or reviewed HBO Max Movie Club, please do so on the iHeartRadio app, HBO Max, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you might get your podcasts. HBO Max Movie Club is a production of HBO Max and iHeartRadio, hosted by me, Matt Rogers. Our executive producer is Matt Stillo. Our producer is Sierra Kaiser. And today's episode was written and researched by Kate Voss. Thanks, everybody.